Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, February is American Heart Month. Last week, our show was about how to treat heart disease without drugs or surgery. This week, we're talking about congestive heart failure and how to reverse it.
It is such an important part of our practice and people's health. It definitely is good that we're covering it.
Right. Well, how common is congestive heart failure?
Well, 6 million Americans suffer with congestive heart failure. Mm. They're diagnosed with that. 670,000 people are diagnosed a year. About 50,000 adults die of congestive heart failure on a yearly basis. It's the number one reason for hospitalization for people over 65. And the cost of congestive heart failure is about $100 billion a year for the American.
$100 billion.
$100 billion.
Wow. So very common.
Very common and a big problem. And there are different types of diseases that are going on, that some things are getting better, some things are getting worse. And congestive heart failure is something that we are not making progress, and more people are actually coming down with congestive heart failure now than ever before.
So what specifically is congestive heart failure?
Well, a good way to look at it is the heart is a pump, and the pump is failing. What happens is that the heart muscles actually become weaker, and as they become weaker, the body tries to compensate. And there's a couple different ways that the heart can compensate on that. It actually can be stretched out because it's being stretched by the excess blood in there. So there's sort of a swelling of the heart, or the heart will actually thicken and get real thick on the walls to try to compensate for the inability of the heart to really pump the blood out. So the heart isn't able to get the complete blood out of it. Mm-hmm. It's not able to circulate the blood throughout your body. And of course, the blood is very important because it provides the oxygen and the nutrients to the whole system. So as you're talking about, you know, congestive heart failure, one, of course, it's a disease of the heart, but then it spreads throughout the entire body because the lungs will back up. You don't get enough oxygen to the brain, so you have fuzzy thinking. It can actually cause symptoms of, like, dementia. The liver will swell. The abdomen will swell out. You'll start to get edema down in the legs, down into the arms. So the whole circulatory system of the body starts to fail because the pump's failing.
It's like a sick heart.
It's a very, very good way of describing that. The pump is failing.
So what causes congestive heart failure?
There are a lot of different types of things as you're talking about congestive heart failure that are involved with that. One of the important parts is nutritionally. So if you have different means that your nutrition starts to decrease, then you're going to start to develop congestive heart failure. What can occur is that you don't have the proper hard beating of the heart. You know, the nerves just aren't working right because there's several things that are involved with the heart to actually work correctly. One of the main ones is the electrical current because the heart is kicked off by the nervous system. And if you don't have the proper nutrients to the nerves, then they're not going to fire right.
Say that 10 times fast.
Right.
Nutrients to the nerves.
So you're talking about B vitamins are very, very important for the heart to work properly. You're also talking about minerals. You know, if you don't have the proper minerals, that can be a real problem. That's one of the reasons that alcoholics develop congestive heart failure, because alcohol decreases and causes an interference with the nutrients of the body. And specifically, a lot of the ones that are associated with the nervous system. So you have the whole problem along with the nutritional. Obesity makes the heart actually pump harder. Cigarette smoking, huge cause of congestive heart failure. One of the main things that will occur on that is arteriosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. You know, so if you have cardiovascular disease where you have atherosclerosis or arteriosclerosis, either a thickening of the material along the heart itself, along the arteries, or a hardening of the arteries can start to kick that off. You can actually have viruses that can hit the heart. So cardiomyopathy, where you can actually get Coxsackie virus in the heart, can actually kick that off. Drug abuse can actually cause that. Pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Different pharmaceuticals can actually cause congestive heart failure and actually set you up for them. Diabetes, thyroid disease, kidney disease, mm-hmm. Heart defects. So, you know, there's a whole list of different types of causes that can kick off the problem with the congestive heart failure.
Well, what are some of the signs and symptoms of congestive heart failure? You know, when I think of it, mm-hmm. to me it seems like I equate a lot of people are on oxygen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, because what you're doing is you're increasing the oxygen carrying capacity of the red blood cells because you're not getting as many to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the biggest signs is that you're short of breath. You know, when you no longer, it's just like, wow, I could used to run up the stairs, mm-hmm. and now I can't, you know, hardly walk them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the signs for congestive heart failure.
Or getting dressed.
You're right. It exhausts you. You start to get some swelling and edema in some of the limbs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are putting on your socks and you've got the swelling at the end of the day of your ankles and feet, mm-hmm. say, wow, you know, that I just must have been on my feet quite a bit. Well, that could be early signs of congestive heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are all things that are going on, not being able to think clearly, anything that you cut down on the oxygenation of the body going out there. Arrhythmias, you know, you can actually feel your heart. Because one of the things, if you're starting to develop congestive heart failure, your heart conduction is not the same as it used to be. So you can get some tachycardia, some fibrillations. In other words, my heart just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, especially after exertion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are all signs and symptoms that you are having congestive heart failure. Even swelling in the abdomen can be an indication of that.
And you said this was the number one, congestive heart failure was the number one reason for hospitalization, people over 65.
Yeah, once you get over 65, that's a huge problem. And congestive heart failure is basically a disease of as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the risk factors for congestive heart failure?
Smoking is probably one of the huge ones, and that's something that we've improved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We've been able to cut down on the amount of cigarette smoking that's going on. Secondhand smoke, if you do a study on, if you take people in a room and you have those people who smoke and those people who don't, and then you measure how much of the tar, nicotine, all those mm-hmm. types of things that people get, people who are in secondhand smoke get about 40% as much as the people who actually do the smoking.
Nice.
So secondhand smoke can definitely cause a huge amount of problem. But we've kind of replaced that cigarette smoking now with obesity.
Mm.
Obesity is a huge factor on that. And it's actually harder to pump blood through fat than it is through muscle.
Mm.
So if you are overweight, then you actually run a higher risk of actually developing congestive heart failure. Diabetes is something that's actually getting much worse, type 2 diabetes. The projections on how many people are going to have type 2 diabetes is going right through the roof.
And that is a lifestyle thing that can be controlled by lifestyle.
That is something that can be controlled. You know, the two things that we're talking about is smoking and obesity are two of the main things. So if you can keep both of those under control, then that really cuts down on your chances of developing congestive heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, if you don't exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, one of the main things that prevents congestive heart failure is aerobic exercise.
Yeah.
And one of the main treatments for congestive heart failure is aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that haven't really been proven to be effective. There's a lot of drugs that can help prolong life, but they don't really reverse congestive heart failure. But one of the things that really does is aerobic exercise. So if you exercise on a regular basis, especially aerobic, if you look at third world countries where people have to walk every place to do all their whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
You don't find congestive heart failure. That's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
A congestive heart failure is a disease of the rich
mm-hmm.
because we can afford to drive cars. We don't have to do the aerobic exercise. We can afford the foods.
Computers we sit in front of.
Exactly. All those types of things. Another area we had talked about, alcohol, mm-hmm. is a thing that can be controlled. You know, if you are an alcoholic, it cuts down on your nutrition, or you drink too much, that is a problem. And infections, keeping the immune system up. Mm-hmm. Because infections can also be another factor on kicking that off.
Well, and it seems like a lot of the things that you're talking about, we have control over. We can make a difference, right?
Right.
And choose.
And the other thing is there are an awful lot of pharmaceuticals that mm-hmm. can actually start to kick off congestive heart failure, too.
And how do they do that?
Well, certain pharmaceuticals are known to block certain nutrients. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are taking any type of a cholesterol-lowering drug, mm-hmm. you cut down on your CoQ10 and certain other different types of vitamins and mm-hmm. minerals, and then you can't, then it actually damages the heart. Of course, having too high of cholesterol can cause blockages of the atherosclerosis. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a lot of different types of things. So the more that you can keep in homeostasis, the less possibility you have of having congestive heart failure.
Okay, well, when we come back, let's talk about the treatment for congestive heart failure. You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Well, let's talk about fascia restrictions. Fascia is kind of like a shrink wrap that surrounds every muscle in our body. And it can become dried out and lose elasticity, leading to more tension and stiffness.
One of the interesting things that they've been doing research, and this has just come out within the last 2 years, is that the fascia is one single organ. It's as much of an organ as your liver, heart, or kidneys. So all the fascia in your body is completely connected with each other and
wow.
intercommunicates with each other. It's the main thing that determines your posture. Matter of fact, it has a very big effect on the nervous system. So as you can get the fascia back into alignment, it can actually change how the nervous system works. And much of the muscle is controlled by the fascia material. And if you look at the low back, it just covers the entire low back.
Really?
So oftentimes your low back problems is connected to the fascia material. Fascia is really where rapid release comes through. One of my good friends, Warren Hammer, that's his main thing, is fascial. Actually, I introduced him to the rapid release. He came to my office. I was working on him, doing some adjustments. And then I took the rapid release and went over it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What is that?" As soon as he saw the rapid release, it's just revolutionized his treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing he teaches now, is how to release fascia with rapid release.
A lot of people are tight in their glutes. The piriformis syndrome will get them in a prolonged stretch and run the rapid release over that just for a few minutes. Big changes.
Oh, yeah. It, again, revolutionizes fascial release.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Toolkit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Toolkit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice. the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about congestive heart failure, or CHF. It's pretty shocking to me. I mean, you talked about some of the diseases have improved, but this is one that hasn't. 6 million Americans are affected by it. It's the number one reason for hospitalization of people over 65. We spend, what did you say, $100 billion?
$100 billion.
Why is that?
Well, it's a lifestyle disease, and one of the things is...
We don't do too well on lifestyle.
No, our trends are not good at this point. This is a disease that's actually increasing in prevalence right now. So we're doing a poor job on controlling it, and it's something that is completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not a disease that any... Well, I mean, there are rare cases where people have congenital problems that can lead to congestive heart failure. But vast majority, 99.9% of congestive heart failure was never necessary.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the treatment for congestive heart failure.
Sure. And one of the things on as we're discussing treatments, there are two different roads that you can go. You can go disease care, mm-hmm. or you can go structure function. The disease care, of course, you're talking about pharmaceuticals. You're talking about heart drugs. Mm-hmm. You're talking about drugs to reduce the volume of fluid in the system. You're talking about hypertension drugs. All those different types of things can really help to prolong someone's life with congestive heart failure, but you're never going to get a reversal of congestive heart failure mm-hmm. with those particular drugs. So they are very good in slowing down congestive heart failure. In some cases, they can actually help initiate some of the right. congestive heart failure. Hmm. Controlling hypertension, all these things are very, very important. But if you're really looking to reverse congestive heart failure, you need to go to a structure function type of model. Mm-hmm. And then you actually have success. You know, as we had said before, one of the best things for congestive heart failure is aerobic exercise.
Right.
So what you do is you tell someone who gets up off the couch and tell them to go out and run 5 miles a day.
Walking.
But there are ways. But yeah. there are ways to work around that. So the treatment for congestive heart failure, as you're looking in a structure function type of model, mm-hmm. There are a tremendous number of ways that we can actually approach that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. You do structure function.
Sure.
Care at your office. How do you treat congestive heart failure at your office?
What we're looking for is the deficiencies. First thing is, what are the nutritional deficiencies mm-hmm. that you're talking about? And there are lab tests that you can do to determine what those are. You have to get the minerals up to running. Because there's several factors as you're talking about the heart. First is, what is the electrical current mm-hmm. Of the heart? And the electrical current is very, very dependent on the minerals of the body. So if you are low on certain minerals, if there's an imbalance on that, then you're going to get an abnormal electrical current. Also, there are certain vitamins that are absolutely necessary. There are phytonutrients. CoQ10 is extremely important. So mm-hmm. you have to make sure that the electrical current is working right. And one of the important ways to actually do that is through nutrition. Now, there are other important aspects on nutrition is the strength of the muscles. If you think about it, the heart really never rests.
Right. And you don't want it to.
No, you don't want it to stop and take a break for a little while. So the heart has a very high adenotriphosphates, the ATP, sort of the energy pattern in the muscles.
Okay.
So keeping that up to a high level is absolutely critical.
And is that something that... You can
find
really out where
approach
the level
that.
Is.
Yeah, you can do lab tests and actually determine what's going on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also figure out, as you're looking along those lines, the health of the valves.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain types of nutritions that are important to keep the valves strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a weak or loose valve, then you have a backwash of the blood. So you also have to look at the valves of the heart. You have to look at the strength of the muscles. You also have to look at the ability for the arteries to flow the blood throughout
right.
the body.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are involved. Also, the lungs are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
If you have problems with the lungs, then you need to get that up to par. Because if you start to have a backup in the lungs, that can actually start to affect the heart. Kidneys and the heart actually work very closely together.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that the kidneys are actually working properly, because if the kidneys start to fail, then you're going to actually start to also have problems with congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. So making sure all the nutrients are up to par. The other area that you can look at is herbals. Herbals are very, very well known to affect the heart. One of the most effective things that are out there is digitalis. People are
That's
very
an herbal.
Aware. Well, that actually comes from different types of herbs. Digitalis is actually found in quite a few different herbs. Mm-hmm. Two of the more common ones are foxglove and Adonis vernalis, along with several others. Mm-hmm. So you can look at that. Cactus grandiflorus is also an herbal that is amazing for working with the heart. So as we're thinking about working with congestive heart failure, either trying to reverse it or also trying to prevent it, several herbals are very, very well known to help to strengthen and get the heart back up to its proper
area. You keep bringing up the importance of minerals for the heart.
Absolutely. One of the things that always has to be looked at. Of course, boosting up the immune system so that you have a healthy immune system, because any type of infection that gets into the heart, one can either cause a weakening of the heart muscles or actually start to cause the valves not to work correctly.
And how do you check for the infection? Is that through lab work also?
That is also through lab work, and then there are a lot of different types of tests on the heart that you can pick up some of the weakness that might occur. There's ejection fractions, echoes, other different types of imaging that can really give you a very, very nice picture on that. And then, of course, one of the best ways to fix the heart is aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep going back to that, but that's an amazing effect. As a matter of fact, the heart is one of the most easily fixed organs in the system if you do it right.
That's encouraging.
It has an extreme, probably of all the different organs in the body, the heart has the highest capacity of regenerating itself. Mm-hmm. I had an Amish gentleman who came into our office, and his doctor had said for him to just to make out his will and be prepared, because he had given him within the year to die from congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. So he had come in and was seeking our help, and you know, just walking from the waiting room into the chair to talk to me, he was out of breath. And we started to talk about all the different types of things. And he had every single problem that could possibly be there. He was overweight, type 2 diabetes. He hadn't smoked, but, you know, all the different types of classic things. And his heart was twice the size of what it should be. Mm. So what happens when that occurs is, you know, it swells and actually drops down. So you can see that on imaging. So we started him on a program of nutrition, a specialized means of aerobic exercise called external counterpulsation therapy. Mm-hmm. And within 7 weeks, he was out chopping wood. His cardiologist had called us up and said, "What did you do?" Because his heart was back to its normal size. With absolutely no signs of congestive heart failure. Mm. Now, you're talking about in a 2-month period turning that gentleman around. Plus, we got his type 2 diabetes under control, and we were able to help him to lose 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we go through all those different types of things, for those that, you know, for someone who was basically told that, well, he was an invalid, mm-hmm. and that he had less than a year to live, that he could go at any time, to out doing all the things. He says, "I'm doing the things I did when I was 35. Mm-hmm. And he was 65.
Yeah, and being Amish, there were definitely things that physically he needed to do.
Yeah, he was back to doing all the things that he always, you know, had intended to do.
Chopping wood, right. And,
So, you know, these things are, you know, the hope that's there. And right now, that is not something that is usually very effective in a medical setting.
Yeah, that's my next question, is how effective are the medical treatments for congestive heart failure? Because here in this situation, you know, he was told, go make your will. There's nothing we can do for you.
Again, you can get some extension of life through the medical intervention, but the British Journal of Medicine has said that really the medical treatments for congestive heart failure, for any type of reversal, is just not there. It's a failed area of disease care.
Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot medically that can be done for congestive heart failure.
No.
Okay. Well, when we come back, let's talk more about the structure function treatment protocol for congestive heart failure and the external counterpulsation therapy we've been talking about.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
February is a month of months, and there is one special day, Valentine's Day on the 14th. I know it's still a ways off, but I just can't wait. Janice, if you're watching, will you make me the happiest man in the world and get out of my apartment? Yes! I said it! Woo!
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
The World Health Organization has come out with new standards for what qualifies as a positive COVID-19 test. So they've said that we're really getting way too many false positives. So we should see actually like a 40% drop.
Mm-hmm. 40%?
Yeah, but it was right after the election. Mm-hmm. And right after they came out with the vaccination, that they changed the requirements, the parameters for the testing. So we should see actually the numbers starting to drop, but it's because of how we're testing, not because of the vaccination or that President Biden was elected.
Okay. Just interesting on the timing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
I was feeling so prepared. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about congestive heart failure, or CHF. And Dr. Prather, before we went to break, we were talking about the lack of effectiveness of the medical treatments for congestive heart failure. How effective are your treatments at your clinic for congestive heart failure? And we're talking about structure function medicine.
Of course.
Here.
And when you're talking about structure function medicine, there's a definite involvement and commitment on the patient's part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to have them lose weight if mm-hmm. they are overweight. Usually once you're into congestive heart failure, you need quite a bit of supplementation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be willing to down a lot of pills, take a lot of liquids. It's going to be a definite dietary change. You have to be inconvenienced on what you're taking. You have to do a lot of lab tests to find out what's going on. You need to make lifestyle changes. If you're smoking, you have to stop. If you're drinking alcohol, you need to stop that.
And with all those things, we have helps here, different therapies that help with addiction.
There are an awful lot of things along those lines.
It's not that easy.
Because as we're talking about stopping smoking, that's one of the cardinal things that you have to do to get, you know, if you're not going to do that, you're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of ways of working with that. We have different homeopathics that are extremely helpful to take. We have auricular therapy and acupuncture. And if someone's actually willing to do it, then they will actually see a very definite decrease in their desire for smoking. Mm-hmm. So we do have a very high success rate with that. And if you have congestive heart failure and that doesn't motivate you to quit smoking, I don't know what will. Because it's a very unpleasant process.
Mm-hmm.
If you have alcoholic or drug addictions, all of those things can make a huge problem. Marijuana smoke is mm-hmm. definitely one of the precursors to congestive heart failure. For those that that do smoke marijuana on a regular basis, there's actually even a greater chance that you can develop congestive heart failure through that mm-hmm. than you can even from the cigarette smoke.
That's a whole interesting topic there.
Yeah, that is. Any type of a drug addiction cuts down on the nutrition and can help to lead to congestive heart failure. So all of those things need to be eliminated. The weight loss, you need to get your nutrients up. You have to take the different types of products that are necessary. You have to be willing to do lab tests. And then also aerobic exercise. Now, one of the things I always kid people, you know, who have congestive heart failure and, mm-hmm. and are having difficulty even breathing, I sit there and I says, now what I want you to do is start running 5 miles a day and keep it at about 5 minutes.
And they think that's funny?
Yeah, they actually do kind of laugh on that, you know. And I says, now, of course, you know, I realize that that's not possible. So we actually do have a machine that does the aerobic exercise for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's external counter pulsation.
Mm-hmm. Or we call it ECP.
ECP.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is that's it's like blood pressure cuffs on your legs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having for a period of time one heart, you have two hearts.
Mm.
So the heart, if it has a defect to it, is how it beats. When you actually have the heart beat, it oxygenates and gets the nutrients to all the rest of the body. But it only gets its nutrients when it goes into relaxation.
Kind of a rest.
At rest in systole. So when the heart actually goes into rest, then the blood goes to the heart and actually has the nutrients for it. But it has a defect. It really doesn't get adequate oxygenation and nutrients just in normal, everyday type of mode.
Right.
The only time that you get the adequate nutrients is when you're in aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have aerobic exercise to get the full oxygenation and the nutrients to the heart. So if you mm-hmm. never do aerobic exercise, you start to develop a hypoxia, which is a oxygen debt in the heart, and it starts to weaken the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get the nutrients to the heart, so you start to have some of the nutritional failings that start to occur. So even if you are perfect in every way on nutrients and on everything else, if you don't do normal aerobic exercise...
Right, and a lot of these people... that have congestive heart failure.
Can't,
right.
So what we do is we pump the legs during systole, and that will get up, that will increase the amount of blood flow to the heart by about four times.
Mm.
So you get this sudden surge of oxygen and nutrients, which we are supplying to the body in large amounts, to the heart, so it kind of gets supercharged.
Uh-huh.
And then we were talking about how quickly the heart can actually regenerate. And you can get some very, very quick changes that start to occur. That is really quite amazing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And this is the external counterpulsation therapy.
External counterpulsation therapy is easily one of the most dramatic types of treatments for the heart, especially for congestive heart failure, that mm-hmm. you can actually ever have.
So why is it so effective for congestive heart failure?
It's just simple mechanics. And
uh-huh.
One of the things is that the ECP was developed at Harvard University, a medical university, about 50 years ago, and has tons and tons of research behind it. It is the number one heart treatment in Japan and China,
mm.
And it has really helped to turn around a huge portion of their death from congestive heart failure. They've seen a dramatic decrease, which with our pharmaceuticals and everything and surgeries, we have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very well-proven type of therapy, very, very safe, that can reverse congestive heart failure.
Mm. Now, is there research backing up the external counterpulsation therapy?
There is a tremendous amount of research along those lines. Now, one of the things that is very true with the external counterpulsation is just doing it by itself has a certain amount of effect.
Mm-hmm.
But then also if you combine it with nutrition, because the body's actually needing the nutrition to really turn it around, mm-hmm. that's when you really get the dramatic effects. So you are providing the oxygen. Well, you need to make sure that the red blood cells are well oxygenated, and you have to make sure that the nutrients in there to really have the dramatic types of changes. The research on the ACP is very, very well established. There's a tremendous amount of research that's going on in Korea, Japan, and China on it. So there's new information coming out. So it is a very well-proven type of therapy and has a excellent, just, you know, if you think about it logically,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense.
Right.
You know why that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the problems with the ECP that's very, very true, I had a patient who had severe congestive heart failure. And I was aware of, had read about the ECP and knew that that's what he needed. So I had called around to different cardiologists that I knew that had the ECP in-house to get him to be able to have that done. And actually had gotten mad with one of the cardiologists who I knew personally and said, you know, why aren't you guys, you know, doing this? You know that he needs it. And he says, well, this isn't disease care.
Mm-hmm.
This is functional care.
That he needed.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, that is involved in that, and I'm a disease doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you're looking at the ECP, it's not really a medical treatment. It's an aerobic exercise machine.
Mm-hmm.
As he told me, he says, this is an aerobic exercise machine. I do disease care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do functional care. You do functional care. You go buy one.
And that's what you did.
And that's what I did. And I was like, oh.
I could buy one.
So we bought an ECP and started using it. Unfortunately, it was too late for that gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He did die from congestive heart failure.
Before we had that
up and running. But that was something that, you know, I really told myself, and I really hate to see people die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really upsets me, especially for something that can be turned around.
Right.
So, you know.
And that's the hope we want to give people with congestive heart failure. There is hope.
There is hope.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a.
There is a treatment.
There is a treatment for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, I think I heard you say there's no risk with the ECP.
Well, the things that you need to make sure of is that there are certain valve problems or vein issues
okay.
that can be an issue on that. So those need to be checked on first and make sure that those aren't there. But besides that, the ECP is a very, very safe type of a machine. The units that we use, there's... In 40 years of use, there's never been an injury that's been reported to the FDA.
Mm, great. Now, what does a treatment protocol for the ECP involve?
Well, it's the basics of aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Aerobic exercise needs to be done at least an hour a day, 5 days a week. And they've found that the maximum amount of reversal for congestive heart failure is accomplished in about 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 35-hour treatment. You need to come in and be consistent 5 days a week for an hour. And you lay there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your legs pumped. And it's surprising because at first it feels like, wow, I'll never get used to this. But most people actually start falling asleep during the whole thing. Because
right.
there is a huge amount of changes that take place in the body
mm-hmm.
with a huge amount of relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been on it. I needed some treatments on it
uh-huh.
That showed up in the
cardio assess that we do, check the oxygenation of my heart. I wasn't doing enough aerobic exercise. But
sure.
I equate it with, at first it feels like you're riding a horse. Laying down.
That's a very good way to put it.
Uh-huh. Well, when we come back, let's talk about more about congestive heart failure.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is auricular therapy, Dr. Prather?
Auricular therapy is where you're using the ear to make some changes throughout the body. Auricular therapy usually refers to electrical stimulation of the ear.
So what is a microsystem, and how is that involved with auricular therapy?
With a microsystem, you're talking about a portion of the body that is in a smaller area, but actually can represent the entire body. Foot reflexology is one that people are very aware of. In other words, there are different points on the feet that have a reflex throughout the entire system. And then there's also the ear. There is an image of an upside-down fetus. That concept was found by Dr. Norget. Dr. Norget, a Frenchman, in the 1950s is the one who brought auricular therapy into science. One of his main things was he helped to map the brain. He was a neurosurgeon.
Well, I'm looking at your ear right now, and I can see that. So the earlobe's the head?
Yes.
Yeah.
The spine goes right along the ridge.
Uh-huh.
You deal with the brain down in the earlobe. Mm-hmm. You deal with the rest of the system. You've got the internal organs are inside the ear. And it's a perfect representation of the human body only in the fetal state. That makes it much easier, and that was something that had never been imaged or recognized by anybody else before Dr. Norget. You can get a good picture of working with the auricular therapy by imagining an upside down baby,
mm-hmm.
and then you can pretty well get to the points just by looking at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can affect anything and everything in the body by working on the ear. You can change the functioning of organ systems by electrically stimulating the ear. You can change the amount of bile that's flowing out of the gallbladder. You can change the functions of the kidney. You can change the heart rate. You can change blood pressure. All of those different types of aspects can be affected by the ear, even though you sit there and say, well, how can that be possible? And understanding the brain.
How can that be possible?
How can, it's the brain and the body connection.
Uh-huh.
Because the brain tells everything else what to do.
Right.
And the ear is what I would consider the control panel of the brain. It's like a keyboard.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the brain as the computer.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about congestive heart failure, or CHF. And Dr. Prather, can congestive heart failure be reversed? Is there hope out there for people?
Yes, and that's one thing that if you probably even talk to your cardiologist and that is this reversible, and the answer would usually be no.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that as it is treated in the disease care model, is it's managed. In other words, there's a process of trying to slow it down and to help to control the symptomatology, but really reversal isn't really something that they even consider. But again, one of the things that has been found in the structure function is that the heart is probably one of the most regenerative organs in the body. So you can get faster healing with the heart and more complete healing with the heart than really almost any other organ in the system, which is really remarkable, especially as important as it is.
Right.
You know, so knowing that that is something that can be reversed and actually corrected is a very encouraging and very hopeful type of thing for people.
Well, it's amazing, you know, we just live life and we our heart never stops.
Right.
But we don't think about it. You know, as we've been doing this show,
sure.
I can, you know, feel my heartbeat because we're focusing on it.
Yeah, it's something that is nice not to have to worry about because it's a very uncomfortable disease for anyone who's going through it. You know, always feel like you're, you know, that you are short of oxygen.
Yeah.
Almost like you're drowning is what it feels like. And that would be a very uncomfortable way to live.
Having to be on oxygen and...
Sure.
Yeah. Well, can congestive heart failure be prevented?
And that's actually the best way. There are, you know, obviously times where you can't reverse the congestive heart failure. And it can cause a tremendous amount of damage in the system. The best way on anything is prevention. So, you know, looking at all the things that are necessary to keep yourself healthy is really where you want to have the preventative system going. So having your yearly checkups, you know, as an adult, making sure that the heart is actually working well. As I told all of our patients, basically when you're a male and you've reached 45, having a good, thorough cardiac workup on a yearly basis is important. Females after 50. And that
should
just be
fine. What age for men?
45.
45, okay.
And for women, it's 50. That they should have their heart checked on a yearly basis. And I really encourage all of my patients to do that. It is something that is highly recommended. Keeping your weight under control. You know, not allowing yourself to get into obesity. And obesity for a male is 25% body fat. For a female, it's anything over 30%. But if you can even keep that where a male really should be 20% or low or less, or a woman should be 25% or less. So trying to keep the fat off is very, very important. Eating good, nutritious foods. Really not getting into the whole chemical preservative aspect of life because that interferes with our nutrition. Eating a healthy diet.
Even, too, you know, I was thinking, you know, what you put on your skin.
Has a huge effect. Heavy metal toxicity can play a big role in a congestive heart failure, too.
And we've talked about hair color for women.
Hair color for
men,
women,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
So all
I think
those
they're finally coming out with some organic, just to let you know, hair color. I'm doing some research.
Something near and dear to your heart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's exciting.
That is very exciting. Regular exercise. You know, having the good aerobic exercise is an important part of our health and well-being. So taking an hour 5 days a week and doing some good quality aerobic exercise is an important part of oneself.
Even if someone starts out 3 days a week, right?
Well, any amount is absolutely.
Get moving.
Right. Just getting moving, you can get a tremendous amount of benefit even from a half an hour, 3 days a week. You know, get that going, keep the aerobic exercise up, and that will do wonders. Avoiding smoking. Avoiding overindulgence in alcohol, avoiding drugs, both you know, illegal and legal. The fewer pharmaceuticals that you have to take, the healthier you are. So trying to, if you are on a pharmaceutical, figuring out what you need to do to get yourself healthy so you don't have to have that. If you aren't keeping yourself healthy, keeping yourself on a, at least on a yearly good evaluation to make sure that you don't get into a situation that's a problem. Keep your blood pressure checked.
Yeah.
You know, if you can control your prevention of hypertension is one of the most important things. I did a life insurance evaluation recently, and they just couldn't believe what my blood pressure was, that I wasn't on any meds, just my general health, that there wasn't anything going on, and they gave me a superior rating, which, as my insurance agent said, he's never had anybody do that.
And so, why they would, be surprised that you're not on any medication.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, my blood pressure is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that doesn't happen by accident.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what diagnostics are, we've touched on this, but are important for congestive heart?
A good thorough blood test. You know, you have to have a good functioning liver, you have to have good functioning kidneys. You need to make sure you're not anemic, because if you're anemic, that puts hypoxia, pressure on the heart. So making sure all the blood work is excellent and in homeostasis. Along with that, you need to do some blood work for nutritional evaluation, which there are ways to do that. There are also hair analysis for the mineral content.
Mm-hmm.
Minerals are absolutely critical for proper heart function and keeping that balanced and keeping those nutrients up. Along with those things, doing a EKG.
Mm-hmm.
To see what's going on for the electrical conduction. You need to check and see. There's many different ways to check on that. For the valves of the heart, make sure that those are healthy. You also need to make sure that the lungs are working properly and that your arteries are nice and clear so that there's a good flow of the blood through your body, no blockages. And then you also, one of the things that we do is an evaluation type of a stress test, where we can measure the oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange and the heart rate recovery are all important types of evaluations of what's going on. And those can give us a very clear picture on what is the condition of the body. One of the things that we have at this office that's rather unique, something called a CardioCess. It can give a very clear picture on heart rate recovery, and that is a good indicator of how close you are to having a issue with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Also how, you know, well exercise your heart is, how the oxygenation is up to par. So all those things are important for a good diagnostic evaluation.
And those are things that you provide at your office?
These are all things that we provide at our office.
Okay. Well, what should someone do who either knows or suspects they or someone, you know, a loved one has congestive heart failure?
Well, one of the things, of course, is to get a good thorough diagnostics. And one of the things is not only should you have a disease, a cardiologist actually check you out, which is a very good idea, but also a structure function doctor who's used to working with the cardiovascular system, just to see what all can be done and how close you are to having a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what, you know, if someone's out there that doesn't, you know, have a lot of hope or, you know, said there's not a lot we can do, what would you say to them?
I would still be looking at, you know, not to give up.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is to get the system up to par. And again, as I had said, is that the heart is one of the most regenerative types of organs in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just like the one gentleman who was basically in stage 4 congestive heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're Amish, you're not really going to give up real easily.
Right.
They're kind of stubborn. So he didn't give up, and he went ahead and sought out care and got the help he needed.
Yeah, so we can make a difference in turning this in a $100 billion disease.
Correct.
Thank you, Dr. Prather. We're out of time. The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.